Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on a Thursday, December the 2nd, 2021, 12-2-21, 15 minutes past the hour here. Do want to remind everybody that Glenn Coble will be on when I go off today from 10:10 a.m. until 12 noon. And then following that, we have Swap Shop from 12:10 until 1 p.m. And Adam the Computer Guy today from 2:10 until 3 p.m. on this station. So don't miss that for love nor money. Also remember, we do stream live on the internet, WWGH1071.com. You can get archive episodes of any show that has aired on the station dating back to January of 2016 by going to WWGH1071.com. You can also download the free TuneIn app, absolutely free on any mobile device, and search WWGH and listen to us anywhere in the world. Also do want to remind you, here in the holiday season, you can send us a Christmas card, WWGH 523 South Prospect Street, Marion, Ohio 43302. If you put your return address in the card or on the envelope, we will send you a card back and we will read your card on the air during a live broadcast. And also put your card in the studio. Hang it here as we have done for so many years. This morning's guest is Mike McGinnis, who was featured last week on TLC's My 600-Pound Life last Wednesday. Started in May on this journey at 745 pounds, today currently at 587 pounds. Fun having Mike here with us this morning. Mike, we were talking about football earlier and how it played a big part in your life. Can you explain to people why that game to you, that time period, was a high?
Oh, man. Just football in general, every time I played it, it was just exciting. I know my senior year is when we went on and went pretty far in the playoffs. And we had a great season, great team. Went up to Madison, Washington to beat the number one team in the state. So it was things like that, being able to just winning. Winning is fun. So we had great teams. And playing a sport that you can be with your friends and hang out and accomplish things together, the amount of time we spent together, it was just a great period.
Now, at this point, at this age and stage in life, what goals do you have aside from the weight?
I want to be able to get back to doing intramural sports, rec league stuff, go back to coaching. I coached my kids for a few years. Maybe get back into high school coaching. I coached there at Harding for a year. And just get back to the things I used to do, go travel more, go to amusement parks, and take my kids places that I did growing up.
Now, how old are your kids?
14, 12, 10, and 8.
Now, I want to talk about the show. How did this all come about? How did you end up on this program?
Well, during the pandemic, I spent a lot of time at home. I was laid off, and everybody was locked down, and my daughter said, can I download this app called TikTok? And I was like, if you download it, I'm downloading it, and I'm going to put a video out there just to embarrass you. Well, that video reached over 900,000 views. So
Now, what was the video?
Just me doing a stupid dance. And people loved it. So I kept making videos, and once you reach 1,000 followers, you can go live. Well, I went from 21 followers one day, and then the next day I had roughly 14,000. I'm currently up to 24,000 followers. And in January, I got a message on TikTok that said, hey, I'm so-and-so. Do you want to be part of a TV show? And I talked to him and thought about it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do it. And it was my 600-pound life.
Now, what was the pitch from these people to you?
They just said, we saw you on TikTok and Instagram. We want to know if you want to do a TV show.
Now,
it's pretty simple.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to a show like this, how would you describe the show? Is it a weight loss show? Is it a personality profile show? What is it?
It is a life-saving show. It changes your life. If you follow and do what you're supposed to do, it's a lifesaver. That's what it is. Yes, it's a weight loss show. Yes, it's a deal with your issues show, a reality show. But if you do what you're supposed to do, your life will be saved.
For somebody who deals with depression and didn't want to leave the basement, and at that time weighed 745 pounds, was it tough to say, you can have access to my life, that I'm going to be on national television?
The day they showed up at my house and they started loading all these crates in the front room and started setting up these cameras, I was like, what did I sign up for? But they were some of the best people I've ever worked with. I still talk with some of the cameramen today and audio guys. They made it so easy and so natural that it didn't really bother me. It became fun.
Now, what is the process like? How often are they at your house?
They came about once a month for a couple days. And they were 12-hour days of interviews and filming and doing random stuff.
Now, do they tell you what to do? How is this all planned out?
They get there, they say, well, our agenda this time is we're going to do, let's say, the one time we went grocery shopping, and you're going to cook a meal with your parents, and then we're going to go for a walk, and we're going to go here and go there, and then...
Did they ever suggest anything that you did not want to do?
Yes. And I didn't do it.
And you didn't do it.
I didn't.
Well, what did they want you to do?
there's a couple times they wanted me to go to like a local pool and go swimming with everybody. And I'm like, nah, it's not going to happen. I was like, well, this pool shut down. This pool's closing this time because of no lifeguards. And this year, hardly any pools were open. So, I was like, I'm not going to do it. We're not going to deal with it.
Was there any particular reason they wanted you to do that?
Content. Entertainment.
So you realize there is entertainment involved in this show?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And now, did you watch the episode?
I did.
Is that hard to do?
It was funny because, like, you're watching it and you realize, like, I remembered everything they did. So I'm seeing it. Oh, there's that. We did that. Oh, they didn't put the part right before that where we did this. And I'm critiquing everything. The only thing I didn't see was the surgery. I was asleep. So when I first saw the surgery, I kind of freaked out when they jabbed those bars in my stomach. So that was a little that was a little different. But yeah, it was fun though. Watching the show and seeing everything. Upset they didn't put some of the stuff in, but they filmed a lot.
Now, what are you upset they didn't put in?
We did a scene at Harding Football Stadium, and I thought that being the whole reason for the show all started from me losing my football career, and then filming at the stadium and going across the field and walking around the track, I thought would have been great for the show just to be like, he's coming back to reminiscing of being back on the football field after going through this whole process. And I was like, yeah, I wish I would have done that.
Now, do you have any reason as to why they would leave something like that out?
Not enough time.
Just time constraints,
yes,
as they would say. We are going to take a break here from Mike for just a few minutes to do one of our holiday traditions here at the station. And I don't know how many years we've been doing this, but quite a while now. We visit with Santa Larry Jefferson, who I believe was the first African-American Santa at the Mall of America in Minneapolis. And he's still out there getting it done. Santa Larry, how are you?
Great. Good morning. Ho, ho, ho. How are you?
Doing well. Good to speak to you. How is the holiday season treating you?
Oh, busy, busy, busy. You know, I need more Santa helpers.
Well, I've heard that this year, Santa Larry, that there are a lack of Santa Clauses across the United States. Are you finding this to be true?
Oh, that is very true. I can tell with my workload and all the phone calls and emails that people are calling and demanding my appearance. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, what do you think has happened this year?
Well, you know, we had several Santas who got hit with COVID this year, and the Santa population is very elderly, per se. I'm not there yet. However, I will one day, God willing. And so people are putting their health concerns first. However, a lot of Santas has converted to doing virtual Santa visits, and that is one of the best things possible. I love it. It's going to be here. It's going to be around for a very long time. So you can connect with Santa and do virtual Santa visits from the comfort of your home.
Oh, very nice. Now, Santa Larry, how have you avoided the pandemic situation?
Well, you know, I'm a retired Army veteran, so I do as my doctor permits or allows. So, you know, I've gotten all three vaccinations. I take my vitamin D3, I take zinc, I take vitamin C, I take elderberry and things of that nature, and I wear my mask. So I am still doing Santa visits in person and virtual. I'm in Chicago doing Christmas around the world and Holiday of Lights at the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago. I'll be back there December 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th, and that will end my tour there in Chicago. And when children come in, they have their mask on. They can take their mask off. We're only going to be there for just a short while, taking a picture and me listening to their Christmas wishes, and then they exit. You know, so they, you know, and that's about it. So, you know, I'm trying to be very careful as best as possible like everybody else.
You know, Santa Larry, a few years ago when this became a big story about you being the first African-American Santa at the Mall of America, has that faded away at this point? I was reading Life magazine this year, and they've got a whole issue out on the history of Santa, and they talk about, I don't know if it was 5 or 6 years ago when that that issue first hit the news wires and became a big issue, that, you know, what color is Santa, basically, is what it was. Has that all faded away now? Do people not care anymore?
You know, you still have your, we have people who don't care, and you still have people who do care. But the bottom line is, Santa is just Santa. Santa doesn't have a color. You know, I'm not Black Santa. I'm Santa Larry. My brand is Santa for All. And if you go to my website, I'm SantaForAll.com. And I try to tell people, we don't call White Santa White Santa.
Yeah, absolutely.
So why call me Black Santa? And like I say, we didn't call Whitney Houston Black Whitney Houston or Tony Bennett White Tony Bennett. No. Stop putting the labels on the Santas. We're just Santa Claus. And that is all I can say, is that I'm just a Santa who wants to spread love, hope, joy, and happiness to all the children and adults around the world. Simple enough.
Do you think a lot of this, and final question on this, do you think a lot of this has to do with the depiction of Santa in movies and in storybooks? You know, 99% of the time, it's a Caucasian-skinned person.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. But if you look at the origin of Santa, you'll realize he kind of looked like me. I mean, St. Nicholas. People post pictures of me and St. Nicholas side by side, and I was like, golly, Larry, you look more like St. Nicholas than this guy over here. But it's no big deal to me, because Hollywood, I want Hollywood to call. Call me, Hollywood. Someone from Hollywood, call me. Put me in a Santa movie. Come on, Hallmark. Put Santa Larry in a Santa movie.
Miracle on 34th Street. Why not redo it?
Yes, absolutely. But, you know, but I love Miracle on 34th Street. You know what I'm saying? Because I, too, am learning. I'm learning Spanish, and I'm starting to learn sign language. So that in 2022, I want to be able to communicate more with children who are Spanish-speaking. I can speak a little Spanish, but it's really funny. But I want to be able to communicate with more children with various tools in my toolkit.
What are kids asking for this year, Santa Larry?
Oh, children are asking for everything you could possibly think of. They're asking for, the girls are asking for Barbie dolls, Paw Patrol, LOL, bicycles, kitchen sets. And the boys are asking for bicycles, Paw Patrol, Hot Wheels, skateboards. But children are asking for everything they could possibly think of that they see on TV or in a magazine. It's kind of funny. I was that child once before. I had one child come visit me there at the Chicago Museum of Science and Industry, and they had a catalog of toys in a book that they had circled. They had circled about 20 different things, and they labeled them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All these things, Santa Claus.
They were ready to go.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But it, but Christmas is for the children, and like I say, it's not about me and the presents that I bring. The true meaning of Christmas is about the gift that you have already received, which is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Boom. Bottom line, I'm a faith-based Santa Claus.
Now, Santa Larry, that's a big issue for a lot of people this time of year. Can you have Santa Claus and still have faith in this holiday?
Absolutely, because keep in mind, Santa Claus is just here to be an ambassador to Christmas, to help spread joy, hope, and love. I, as Santa Claus, and with my faith, and I was a chaplain assistant in the Army, keep in mind, one of the things I always like to do is remind people what Christmas is about. And I encourage parents to read the Christmas story to your children so they'll know what Christmas is all about. But like I say, most people know what Christmas is all about. We all know what Christmas is all about. It's about the birth of our Savior, you know. And but Santa Claus comes into the picture because of St. Nicholas, and who was a gift bearer and a giver. And so you can be faith-based, and you can also enjoy the entertainment of Santa Claus.
What will you be doing for the holidays this year, Santa Larry?
Well, after I make this big trip around the world and dropping off all these toys to all the boys and girls, I will probably nestle back in my bed and in the house there at the North Pole and eat a lot of good food.
Now, what is Santa's favorite cookie?
My favorite cookie is simple. It's chocolate chip. What is your favorite cookie?
You know, I would have to say I like the Oreos.
Oh, the Oreo cookies are always delicious, especially when you dip them in milk. Yeah. Oh.
Absolutely. Do you have a favorite holiday song, Santa Larry?
Oh, you know what? I do. I've got several. You know, I love Mary, Did You Know That Your Baby Boy Will One Day Walk on Water? I love Mary, Did You Know. That's such a beautiful holiday song, a good Christian song. And then, of course, I always love We Wish You a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Santa Larry, what is it about this time of year, this season, that people are a little lighter, a little brighter, they smile a little easier, this 30-day period that we have every year?
You know, it's because it's all about joy. It's about happiness. It's about family. And love and caring for each other. And that is amazing because I want that to happen all year round. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Why do you think it doesn't? Well, I mean, we've been doing this for quite a while now, Christmas, and it never seems to rub off on the other 11 months.
Oh, that's a question we may have to ask a counselor.
We might have to. You're right. Sam Larry, is anything different this year from last year? Last year we were in the pandemic. This year we still are, but with fewer restrictions. Any big differences?
No. I'll probably say, you know, we still are doing virtual Santa visits because a lot of people don't want to come out to the malls or to the various museums. But a lot of people have been so cooped up in their houses that they're now getting out of their house. They're feeling a little bit safer because a lot of people have gotten the vaccination, although we still have 100 million more people to go. But people are, they're feeling a little bit safer, and they're beginning to venture out. Because I had a line wrapped around the museum like you wouldn't believe, taking pictures last week. So we'll see.
What are the attributes that are important for a Santa Claus if somebody would want to join this elite group?
Oh, they got to have a good, loving heart and love Christmas, know what it's all about, love children, love taking pictures with children, and listen to children's Christmas wishes with patience. And, you know, you got to show respect and care to all people. Yeah, but if you have that good, loving heart, we can use you in the Santa Claus business.
How did this all start for you, Santa Larry?
Well, you know, it all started out with me doing Santa for my three nephews, Chris, Cammy, and Kobe, in 1999. And now I'm doing Santa Claus for their children, their four little kids. So I started out doing Santa Claus for my nephews. I was walking around in a department store, and I saw a Santa suit for $29.99. I was like, wow, I can buy three or four of those. So I did, and I called my brother Charles and says, Charles, are you taking the boys to see Santa Claus? And he was like, no, not this year. I said, well, don't worry. I'm coming to your house. I found a Santa Claus suit, and I'm going to come to your house and see my nephew. He was like, whatever. And I was like, okay. And I gave him the date. So that date came, and I put on my Santa Claus suit, brushed that hair out and that beard, and I went over to the house, knocked on the door, and the boys opened the door, and they started screaming. They slammed the door in my face. I could hear their mother say, boys, what's wrong? What is it? And they said, Mama, it's Santa Claus. It's Santa Claus. They were, let him in. So they opened the door and let me in. They were so giddy. They were all about ready to go to bed, and it was dark, and they had their pajamas on, and I was there only 15 minutes to make that magic. And gave them some money, gave them a couple presents, and told them be good, yada, yada, yada. And this was the start of Christmas, and I was going to come back on Christmas Eve and leave them more presents, because this was like around December 15th. And so they were so excited, and they said, yes, sir, yes, sir. And I left, and as I was driving home, my sister-in-law called and said, Larry, that was so good. I asked the boys if they knew who it was, and they kept saying, yes, Mommy, it was Santa Claus. It was Santa Claus. It was Santa Claus.
And the rest is history.
Yeah, the rest is history. I started doing a homeless shelter and a place where they feed homeless people downtown Dallas at the Stew Pot. I did my office where I was working at the Texas Workforce Commission and Workforce Solutions Greater Dallas. I did my Army base, and then people just kept calling me, and it kept calling me. And that was in 99, and finally, I couldn't wear a real beard because I was in the Army and Army Reserve. So when I retired in 2015, I said, honey, I'm going to grow my beard, and I'm going to become Santa Claus full-time. And that's what I did. And then that's why I went to a Santa Claus school and a workshop, and then I went to Missouri to Discovery Santa. We had a Santa convention there. And that's where I met Santa Sid, who was from Mall of America working for the Santa Experience in Minnesota. And Santa Sid came over and said, Larry, we've done a national search for Santa Claus. We haven't been able to find a good Santa Claus, a multicultural Santa Claus. Would you be interested in interviewing? And I said, well, if they interview me, Sid, they're going to hire me because I'm really good. He laughs and says, okay, call them and see if they'll give you an interview. I called them, they interviewed me, and they gave me a four-day contract. And after that, a four-day contract led to now a two-week contract. So I've been there at the Mall of America for 5 years, and with the exception of this year because I smoothed my contracts to to just do the Chicago Museum of Science and Industry this year.
Now, Santa Larry, when all of us leave this earth one day, knowing that you were the first African-American Santa, multicultural Santa at the Mall of America, what does that mean to you in your life?
It's part of a legacy. I've left my mark here on earth, and it's a good thing, you know. I want others to continue to carry on being Santa Claus, whether you're black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Korean, or whatever. I don't care. We just need more Santas out there, particularly Santas of color, to help spread joy and happiness within their own community.
Now, Larry, before we part ways this year, and it's always fun, last year it was very popular when we had you on. We had you end with a song, which people loved. Can you give us a little chestnuts roasting on an open fire this year?
Wow, you should have told me that earlier so I could have practiced. However, chestnuts roasting on an open fire, stand by. Hang on 1 second. Because I have a little cough this morning. I don't have COVID or anything. But I, hang on.
Here we go, chatting with Santa Larry Jefferson this morning here on WWGH Radio, one of our yearly traditions, which we enjoy quite a bit. And Santa Larry is going to part with us today on a famous, very famous Christmas tune written and sang by the late Mel Torme, one of the great songs.
Oh, I know. All right, let's see here. Stand by. That is a great song. I love that song as well.
It's one of the great, you know, it apparently Mel Torme tapped it out very quickly, something like just a couple hours.
Oh, I know. It's fantastic. But, let's see, chestnuts roasting on open fire, right?
Right, here we go.
All right, let's see if I can do this. Are y'all ready, folks?
We're ready.
La, 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 la. Ho, 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 ho. All right, I'll give you the first stanza, okay?
Okay.
Here we go. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. And folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoes help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodness on his sleigh, and every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeers really knows how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
The wonderful Santa Larry Jefferson, it's one of our favorite traditions. Santa Larry, Merry Christmas to you, and I'm sure we will do it again next year.
All right, many blessings to you all.
Thank you.
To all a good night.
Absolutely. Santa Larry Jefferson, one of our favorite traditions here at the station, the first African-American Santa, multicultural Santa, ever hired by the Mall of America in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and apparently going to be up in Chicago here. So 6 hours, you can go up and see Santa Larry, and it will be well worth the trip. Joined in studio for the remaining 17 minutes this morning by Marion native Mike McGinnis, who was just featured on My 600-Pound Life on TLC. Starting out at 745 pounds, currently 587 pounds. Mike, we were talking about the show in and of itself. Now, there are several emotional moments in the show. Does anything in the show make you emotional, tear up?
Just looking back at everything I went through, I think talking about the kids and everything they had to go through dealing with my health downfall, kids shouldn't have to go through that. And I say that's one of the most emotional things that I had to deal with, is knowing that my kids struggled having the dad they needed during that time frame. But it also helps me remember of why I'm doing this and where I'm going to be in the future, helping them out and being a better dad.
Does exercise play a part?
Absolutely. And I realize I said absolutely like 30 times on the show, too.
Well, that's okay.
But I'm supposed to be walking a lot. I did a 5K a week and a half ago. It was my first ever 5K. But I finally got cleared to start lifting again. So I'm going to get back in the gym and start lifting and start doing some more cardio. I'm not allowed to do any abdominal stuff yet. But exercise is a big key, and I need to start doing more.
Is it ever difficult, now that you've been through this, to get up and eat right and to exercise?
The hardest part is exercising, because I still want to just hang out and not do much. But getting up and going and fixing or grabbing a pudding or heating up some soup, it's not really too difficult doing that now. The exercising is still the hard part, because I didn't do it for so long. Just getting back and into that routine is the difficult part.
What was the response from people like when you announced you were going to be on this show?
I honestly kept it a secret for a long time from a lot of people. And when I posted it on Facebook, when was that? End of October, I think, or middle of November. Probably one of my biggest posts I've had on Facebook all year. Just people saying, I can't believe you're doing this. Congratulations. Can't wait to see it. So it was a pretty good response.
When people saw the show, what was the response?
Oh, man. Everybody was just amazed that I did it, and they were proud of me. My phone's been blowing up ever since last Wednesday. People all over the country messaging me on Facebook and trying to befriend me on Facebook and TikTok. I actually was on my TikTok Live last night, and a girl came in and goes, oh my gosh, it's you! She's like, I just got done watching your show, and you were just on my For You page. So the response has been really good. There have been a lot of comments on the TLC page of people saying, I can't believe this guy, and blah, 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 blah. But it is what it is.
Do you read the negative comments?
I did. I read all the comments, and a lot of them, I thought they were really funny. Because if they actually knew the truth behind all of it, they wouldn't be saying what they were saying.
What were the negative comments?
I can't believe his parents are enabling this fat slob and stuff like that. And it's like, you don't know. If you don't know, don't say something. It's their opinion. People have their opinions.
Where do you think that comes from in society? I mean, you could just say nothing, but apparently these people would rather say something.
Yeah, exactly. And to me, I think there's something going on inside them, so they got to bring other people down to make themselves feel better. So that's my honest opinion.
Now, deep down, does it have any impact on you?
No. It has no impact on me. I could care less what other people say. If it's good, I'll thank you for it. But ultimately, I have to do what I have to do to make myself better. I can't depend on other people to make me happy. If I did, I would never be happy.
Now, is there any follow-up that goes on after the show?
I meet with my doctor every month, virtual. And I call him every once in a while if I have an update or if I have to ask a question. But besides that, I'm doing most of this on my own.
Is there ever a fear that there might be a backslide?
Every day. I know Thanksgiving, 1 month after the surgery, it was exactly a month or 2 months after the surgery. And you're going through seeing everybody fill their plates with all this food and Everything smells good, and you're walking. It's like, last year, I destroyed this Thanksgiving. I had two or three plates, and it was so good. And now it's like, well, I don't want the corn because it's starch. Can't potatoes because there's starch there, even though it's nice and warm. Can't have this, can't have that. It's like, well, I guess I'm going to have pudding. So, yeah, it's different.
So what does a holiday like Thanksgiving become about for you?
Family. It's not about the feast. It's not about the food. It's about, hey, you get to see your family, hang out, and watch sports.
Since your parents have taken some heat for this, what is their reaction now that some of the weight has come off?
They are loving it. My dad can't wait till next year so we can go golfing more, and they're just excited to see me moving around better and not as scared as they were before.
What is there was a video online that was from the show in which you talked about how food made you happy, that you waited for the food to show up, and when the food came, it made you happy. Now explain that to us.
I don't know if I can really say this. That was part of the voiceover that we did. I did 4 days of voiceover down in Houston, and I argued that statement with them for about an hour. I did not want to say that because I don't feel that way.
The food makes you happy.
Yeah.
So they told you to say that.
Yes.
Now see that. What is the reality in this? That becomes the question.
The reality is I did go to Houston. I did have surgery. I did meet Dr. Now. We did film. I know if you guys watched the show, it does say 12 months. I started in May.
So what do you think that's about?
Entertainment. They told me that's what we need. We need people to watch the show. We need... There's going to be things that you say that aren't true, but we need people to watch. Like, don't worry about the time frame, just worry about entertainment.
Aside from the food making you happy, not being true, is there anything else that comes to your mind that you said that is not exactly true?
There's actually a lot, honestly. But the weights were all wrong, too.
Now, what were the weights?
The only correct weight was the first one.
The 745.
Yeah.
And then they would misjudge the weights, or?
No, I actually got weighed in every time, and they have my correct weights at the doctor's office. But to go along for the duration of the year, they had to show a progression of the weight loss.
What was your episode? Do you know if it was a highly rated episode?
From what I've seen from reaction from people, this is probably one of the all-time favorites on the show. They said I've had people message me and say, we've watched every episode, and this is the only one where we've enjoyed the whole thing. And they said this is one of the only ones we saw Dr. Now laughing in the episode.
Now, taking yourself out of it, why do you think that is?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I was just myself. The camera crew even told me, they're like, you're one of our favorites. They're like, well, I hope we get to come back and film you more.
Catch up on your progress.
Yeah, that. Plus, they liked coming to Marion. They said Marion was a great city. It was just fun.
Now, coming back to that statement, because it was used as, I think even a promo for the show, that you love food. Why was that something that isn't true? So what did food play in your life? What part?
Coping. It was more of like to fill the void of what I was feeling inside from the depression. Like, I was feeling a void, so I'm just going to, when I eat, I just eat to numb myself. It wasn't that I was like thinking what I'm going to have the next meal, or what am I gonna eat today? I'm gonna just have all this food. It's just like, okay, what do we have? There it is. Okay. And then I didn't get the right proportion.
Right. Well, it's fascinating to learn how the progress goes in a reality television show. Do you call them reality television shows?
It's reality because it's real people. That's my take on it.
Yeah. Well, but aside from that, there some things aren't exactly as they should be.
Exactly.
So for somebody watching this as a weight loss show, isn't exactly that, maybe?
I would still say it's a weight loss show because the goal of the whole thing is to have weight loss and to go through the surgery and to get healthy and have a better life. But they also have the ratings they have to keep up to keep the show going, and they got to do what they have to do to keep them.
Did you feel any of it was degrading in a way where you lift up your shirt or do things like that? Some people would have a big problem with that, I think.
I know. The very first scene we shot was, it took 3.5 hours just to get the camera placement approved by corporate. And I was sitting on the couch. They said, lift up your shirt a little bit to show your stomach. And the camera was 2 feet in front of me with a wide-angle lens. And they said, we just want to make it look better for TV. So it took forever to get the play. They'd move it an inch to the left, an inch to the right, and finally they approved it. But yeah, it was all about, most of it was about entertainment and making it look better.
When you see it, is it the right depiction of you, do you think?
I would say 50-50.
What is wrong and what is right?
What was right is that, yeah, I was struggling. I was that weight at the beginning. I was using food to numb my emotions, and my health was declining. What I don't think was right was how much I depended on the food, and it wasn't my life and all that. So,
being this point in your life, 40-ish, how long do you think, what toll has the weight taken? Do you think later in life it's going to come back no matter what happens, as far as just the toll, the congestive heart failure, the weight on the joints and things of that nature?
I have a feeling that later on I will have to have knee surgery from all the years of lifting and playing football, plus having the weight for so long that my knees have do a lot of popping here and there, so I know that's going to take toll on me later. I've had some hip pain recently, so don't know about that. Hopefully losing all the weight, the heart will be better. But besides that, I haven't really thought about anything else.
745 pounds when you started in May, 587 pounds here on December the 2nd. You want to be at 250 pounds. How long do you think that'll take?
I honestly think I can get there by next summer. If it, Dr. Now told me I could probably be my 200-pound mark by New Year's, and I'm pretty close. I only need to be 545 to hit that, so I'm just 40 pounds away, and I'm losing about 10 to 20 pounds every week. So I could be at my goal weight easy by next summer.
Any regrets in doing this show?
Absolutely not.
None?
None whatsoever, because I look back and say, if I didn't do this show, I'd be dead right now.
It was life and death.
It was life and death.
There is a poignant moment in the show where you talk about every night going to sleep, and because of the weight, not knowing if you're going to wake up. Now, was that reality? By the look on your face, maybe not.
I never thought of that. That was something they told me to say.
They told you to say that. Well, that's quite a thing to tell somebody to say.
But I looked back at it, and it's true, though.
Did it make you start thinking about it after they told you about it? Yeah.
It made me start thinking about it because when you're at the weight you're at and you're having trouble breathing and you don't go anywhere, you don't do any exercise, yeah, I'd stop using my CPAP because I didn't like it. Well, that CPAP was keeping me alive at night. So I started using it every night now. So just to...
Is there a fear? I mean, even at 587 pounds, things can happen.
Things can happen, yeah, but I'm being optimistic.
Being optimistic. How big a part is that in this, being optimistic?
It has to be. It's a major role right now. I know I have to do good.
Yeah. It's a fascinating story, and again, Mike McGinnis, local resident here in Marion, native here in Marion, was featured on My 600-Pound Life on TLC, the big cable network, last Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve, big-time episode, and if you missed it, you can watch the whole thing on YouTube, and what are the other platforms, Mike, people can get it?
Discovery Plus. And I didn't, and some people told me it's on Facebook too, and bits.
It's out there. It's out there. Do you like watching yourself on television?
It was actually pretty fun.
Yeah. When the story is written on you, what has the percentage weight has played in your life, for the good or the bad?
I would say it's still 50-50. It's been good a lot, but it's also been a lot of bad.
What is the lesson for people? What can they take away from watching your show and listening to this show this morning?
Don't quit.
Don't quit.
Don't quit.
Have you thought about it?
Many times.
And what stopped you?
My kids, and knowing that so many other people would regret me doing it.
Mike, with a smile on his face here this morning, 587 pounds, that is down from 745 just back in May of this year. What a pleasure it's been to have you on this morning, Mike, and I'm sure we will be visiting again.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Mike McGinnis, star of last week's episode of My 600-Pound Life on TLC. Glenn Coble coming up next. Scott Spears for this day, heading for the dugout.
Claustrophobia. Yeah. That's a good one. Yes.
Claustrophobia. There you go.
I like it.
Lulu, why are Christmas trees so bad at sewing?
They always drop their needles.
This is corny right up the way. Two more in here. We got two more. Lulu, what happened to the thief who stole a Christmas advent calendar?
He got 25 days.
I know, that's a good one.